This is RSVNB Update, episode 505, recorded Friday, February 20th, 2015. Podcasting for charity. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on RSVNB Update. Of course, this weekend is Double XP weekend, so hopefully you guys are all reaping the benefits of what you've sown in the entire week, if in the case of farming. But in any case, this week joining Earth and myself is Tanis from RSVNB Informer. Hello.
Hi.
Great to have you on the show again.
So, Shane, when we started the show, I heard a beep. Was that you activating your podcast host protocols or something?
Yes, yes. That was the podcast host protocols going in.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's what I thought.
Just have to make sure we don't run into any unhandled exceptions and we'll be good to go. All right.
Yep.
So, this week, we have the return of the Wildy Worm and some Lava Strike Worms in general. Anybody here fans of the wilderness? Raise your hand. I see one.
A fan of the wilderness?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
How about you, Tanis?
No. No, not at all.
Well, I'm going to be in that camp as well. But regardless of that, we do endeavor to provide you full analysis on this update and some interesting things that have come from it and what it means for the larger scope of the game. So, you guys might remember that back in February of 2011, the Wildy Worm did come around, and it was short-lived. It was a Jagex-sponsored event where JMods would spawn it, and you know, people would go out there and kill it and get the rewards from it. Back then, of course, being the Fury Shark, which are back. So this group of worms are now actually in-game for you to go and activate on your own. And you do this by heading south of the Lava Maze, where the Red Dragons are, of course. And you just can kill, you know, the general Lava Strike Worms, requiring level 94 Slayer. And when you're killing these, there's a chance that the giant Wildy Worm will appear. And you will, of course, need a group to take that one down. So there will be a group broadcast message. People can come in, come kill it, and then maybe get one of the new interesting rewards from it. But with that being said, you can also get the rewards from the basic Lava Strike Worms. Any questions on this so far?
Not really.
I mean,
nope.
I don't.
All in all, it's a fairly simple combat Slayer update, and we've seen many of these before. I think the real highlight of this is the rewards, mainly the three rare rewards that come from the Wildy Worm and the Lava Strike Worms. Basically, what happens is these worms drop a rare item, three rare items that can be used to create a Lava Whip, a Staff of Darkness, or a Strike Bow. And these are level 85 weapons with special attacks. Now, I want to ask something here. And this might come across as, you know, seeming as though the wilderness is a negative thing. But are you guys okay with the idea of tier 85 weapons coming from the wilderness in an area where you can get PvP'd while attempting to pick them up?
Am I against that?
Yes.
Isn't that the whole premise of, what's it called? Warbands?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, this is a more, I want to say, laissez-faire kind of idea.
Huh?
This is a more laissez-faire kind of idea in that there's no organized event around it, as with warbands. I mean, unless you're going to fight the big worm, but in this case, you can just go fight these little worms for Slayer, right?
Right.
So basically what I'm asking is, the fact that such a high-tiered weapon comes out of the wilderness, does that seem right? Or is that okay, that not okay?
I mean, it's better than... It's valuable.
Well, are the pieces tradable?
Yes, you can buy the pieces on the exchange.
I don't see an issue with it then.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
You do need the worm spike in order to make the lava whip. And the starting GE price on these was 25 million GP.
And what are they now?
I'm endeavoring to tell you that, but as I went to go, you know, load the GE page, it appears as though Jagex's servers are having some responsive issues.
Oh, Jagex.
Yeah, but...
Looking for me, what did we want to look at? Lava whip?
No, we wanted to look at the worm spike.
Oh, the worm... Oh.
It went up to 26.9 mil. And the worm heart? Oh, wow, 29.4. And if we go to the strike bow, which ultimately requires the worm scalp, 26.9.
Okay, so they've all gone up.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking back, this is what abyssal whips were worth way back in the day. And
I thought they were in the 100 millions.
Well, I mean, after the first nerf. Before they completely killed them off and, you know, everybody had them and that thing. They hovered around 25 million for a long time. But... I think that this is a return to the old type of combat mechanics on Harass. You know, not necessarily the whole boss mechanic. Oh, we're going to go to God Wars and we're going to, you know, go and we're going to camp there for 8 hours and we're going to see what we get and everybody's going to get filthy rich off it. Or we're going to go to Araxor or we're going to go to Farrago, that sort of thing. This is indeed a return to the classic nature of bringing items into the game, which I think is good, but it's still combat related. But I'm sure we'll see skilling weapons added in later. Anyways, the point I think that we need to look at here is that these are going to act as item sinks for the lava or for the abyssal whip, the staff of light, and the dark bow.
Well, yeah, I like the fact that not only are you taking those weapons out of the game, but these are iconic weapons. These are weapons that we all used for years and years and years. Yeah. And it's making them relevant again to make them a level 85. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the only level 85 that is tradable. Everything correct. Else comes from ports.
Correct.
So, I mean, overall, I think it's a really, really good update. If it brings some PvP back, that's fine. They hang out over the wall. I hang out on this side of the wall. We all get along, and it's good for the economy. That's great.
And it's great for the economy. I like it.
I love that analogy. But yeah, that is entirely true. Because we'll talk about what makes these weapons special in addition to that in just a few moments. But the fact these are going out of the economy means that when you're fighting the abyssal demons, I don't know if you guys have 85 Slayer or not, but...
I finally do.
Okay. Well, when you're fighting abyssal demons these days and you get a whip, it's like, who cares? Yeah. 100-odd K, and I mean... So there is reason to get excited about a whip now, so hopefully the whips will go up from this, as with the Staff of Light and the Dork Bow, so that's good.
Well, did you say the dork bow?
Whoops. I guess I did. I did not mean to say that.
Excellent work, Shane.
Yeah, I typoed with my mouth.
Well, see, I can't see them actually going up in price for... I think they're going to go down. Or at least the whip will probably go down, because if you think about it, look how low Drygors are right now. And there's no way an 85... you know, level 85 weapon is going to be more than a level 90. That just wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I see where you're going with that, but I think that you know, if the Drygors can be, you know, the new premium weapon in the game, these can be, you know, the new Abyssal Whip or Dragon Longsword that everyone shoots for. Because, you know, the Drygors still do come from the Kalphite King, which you do need, you know, a bit of a strategy about to kill. So I think we'll probably see some economic benefit, but I don't see the whips going up, you know, to what they were back in the olden days of in the millions. Definitely not. Maybe a small increase, 10%, 20%, something like that in the short term. But yeah, Tanis, you're right. They'll probably level out over time. And just an FYI for everybody out there, with regards to the change between a level 90 and a level 85 weapon, you're looking about 6.7% decrease between 90 or increase between 85 and 90. So you can decide if that's worth the extra money for you.
Yeah, it depends on what you are doing. You know, it's very specific. If you are a high level PVMer, then you're going to have the level 90s. You need that DPS maximum output, you know, so that you need that elite void that you're healing back everything. But if you're doing Slayer, man, you can rock those 85 weapons. You're not losing really anything.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd even argue that for Slayer now, you know, a Ceridomid Godsword is good enough for an Abyssal Vine Whip, even, depending on how you're wanting to do it.
So. Yeah.
Now, as I mentioned, there's something else also special about these, and it's, you know, just not the fact that they're coming into the game through the wilderness, but it's also that they have special attacks. And some of them are hilariously overpowered, in my view, but you do need that in order to make them convincing, I think, right?
Indeed.
Don't worry, they'll be nerfed.
yeah. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but when the Abyssal Whip first came out, way back when in 06, its first special attack was that it would be a 20-second bind that you could not get out of.
20 seconds?
Yes.
20.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then, of course, that was, you know, nerfed to reducing run energy, which is practically useless, and then I think that became adrenaline or special attack bar or something before specials were removed. But anyways, the lava whip has a special attack that drags your target towards you across any obstacle that does not block ranged. So imagine Castle Wars or Soul Wars with something like this, and, you know, you got someone who's running with the flag, and it's like, oh no, get back here. What?
I'm sorry, can you make that noise again?
What? Excellent. You enjoyed that, didn't you? Yes?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the melee one, and I think that's a really interesting special attack. Staff of Darkness... when you use this special attack, it absorbs and reflects 25% of incoming damage for 20 seconds. So you get a hit 1,000, there's 250 going back out at you. I would love to have something like this at the Drygors. Or, I mean, not the Drygors, the Glacors. And then, of course, the bow, its special attack, store damage received and release it in an extra attack every 5 auto attacks or 15 abilities you fire off. Oh, that's the passive. Wow, okay. I was misreading there. And a special attack which increases and unleashes the bow's stored damage as a quick damage over time effect. Sorry about that. Which one of these is your guys' favorite?
I have to go with the whip just because that reminds me of, like, the old days of Mortal Kombat. Like, it was that guy who was like, come here, get over here.
Get over here!
Yeah. I love it. That's great.
Okay. I'm going to go for the Staff of Darkness, mainly from the PVM sense, I guess. That seems like a really good thing. But like you said, they will probably take the nerf bat to these things eventually.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That rounds off nicely.
Yeah.
I kind of like the strike bow. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Now, is it just me, or are these special attack options specifically tailored towards PvP?
I mean, the Lava Whip and the
Staff
of Darkness, to a lesser extent, definitely. The Lava Whip, without question, is. I don't know about the other two.
Yeah, well, we'd have to see how large that damage over time effect is, but damage over time can be quite the factor on players if you're in PvP, because as a player, you're not only looking at your offense but also your defense. So if you're having a damage over time, you got to worry. Oh, am I clearing this? How do I heal from it? Et cetera, while also chasing after your target. So that one could also be very interesting for that. But all in all, this update, the weapons, the special attacks, and specifically where this is all situated, ultimately, I think does mean that we're kind of shifting into a focus where we want to start looking at PvP again for RS3. And, not only from this week's update, but last week's responsive combat update as well. So that's just where I think we're going. You guys can, correct me if I'm wrong or laugh at me or anything.
I mean, they're
like
certainly trying to revitalize it.
Yeah. And, this is something that our informer writers touched on, both Lord Rickles and Mr. Bistro, saying that, Mr. Bistro says that in the wilderness, any kind of update that brings people to the wilderness and draws attention to it is good. There's lots of fixing that needs to be done. Let's get going. Whereas Lord Rickles takes a very common thing, saying that the worms are the bait to get the players into the wilderness. Because when you think about it, wilderness is mainly only used by players for elite clue scrolls, and that's about it. So, there you go. All in all, good update, I think. Anything else before we move on to tweaks and fixes of the week?
I don't have anything.
Nope, nothing here.
All right. Well, the first thing in tweaks and fixes this week is that the Priftina's pickpocketing has been made more profitable. People were upset when this was initially rebalanced after the release, but with this, it brings it almost back up to the level it was at release, but it's still not hilariously overpowered, which is good. On average, players are reporting yet around an extra 100 or 200,000 GP worth of items per hour, which is pretty good.
How much are they getting then?
Well,
total.
It's around 800-900k, give or take.
They're complaining. What did it get nerfed to?
Well, it was like 1.4 plus million when it came out.
No, what did it get nerfed to?
Well, like 600,000, 500,000, give or take. So, I mean, we gotta look at how much GP is coming into the economy. But at the same time, well, that's Mod Timbo's department, and apparently these updates are okay with that. But skilling does need to have something to make money, and the fact it's kind of AFKable makes it questionable. But still, I think it's okay.
Kind of.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, people just click on them and leave.
Yeah, well, you still gotta, attend your station and talk and whatnot, so that's why it's kind of AFKable and not fully AFKable.
All right.
Items are now given in noted form, more of them, and cups of tea have been removed.
Thank goodness.
From what?
The pickpocketing tables.
Oh. It's like, they removed it from the game. No. Jagex, you're British. You can't do that.
Yeah, the queen would be very upset with that, wouldn't she?
Mm-hmm. Last time she was upset, we had to go steal a statue or two, right?
Oh, that's a good one.
I know, I made it.
Yes, of course you did. Okay, demon flash mobs will now spawn hourly instead of every 2 hours. Thank you, Jagex.
Woo!
And you know, this kind of goes into what we said with the demon flash mobs. Going to be busy for the first week, and then it's going to die back down again. So,
woo!
This had to happen. Farmer payments for elder trees are now shown in the farming skill guide. Those were missing before. Anyone wondering, they are 25 Morcella mushrooms. Anything for you guys in the patch notes this week?
Shane, I am shocked that you did not mention that you and Magic Tree's model have been updated at the various growth stages for farming.
Well, that's, I mean, I don't know.
But it's farming.
Yeah, it is farming.
It's farming, Shane. That's you.
But
that's all you.
But the thing is, I still don't like the way the purple magic trees look.
Oh my god. It's
that's
different.
That is the only reason I did not bring attention to that. Because I prefer the old magic trees with the stars coming down them. That's all.
It's different.
Yeah, you've probably been waiting to play that sound for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't made fun of people for going, oh god, it's different, in quite a while, have I, Shane?
Nope, that's good. Anything for you, Tanis, in the patch notes?
No, I'm just really glad they got rid of the tea, because that was really annoying to have half an inventory full of teacups.
You can't even drink them and they go away, right?
Yeah, no, you just drop them.
And it's not like you need to boost your construction level or anything like that, because I think the tea boosts the construction by one. Three if you have a golden teacup.
Not this tea.
Oh, no? Okay.
No, it's different. That tea is only the tea that's in the house.
Well, that's good tea then. Speaking of that, I need to get my tea after we finish the show.
Neat.
We got a poll this week for the skill cape rework. What do you guys think of the concept for the new skill cape design? Because I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence for this one. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing the skill capes reworked. But at the same time, I just don't know if I want to give up that old farming icon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I can hear.
Let me
pull
out my
that.
Farming cape.
You didn't have
look
it?
Look at this. I wear my quest cape, Shane. Clan quest represent, yo.
Yeah, you guys are probably the only quest in game to have a skill cape for you guys, eh?
The only quest in game.
Clan in game, whoops.
Oh, God. Tidy up using the new skill icons? That looks disgusting.
All right.
I like the old ones.
Yeah, I voted for use the old icons. That's winning with 11% currently.
I mean, tidy up? What? Oh, to remove clipping and other issues. Oh, no.
The new skill cape design is winning with 66%
of the
vote.
That's what I thought. I guess I'll be the odd man out here. Yeah, I voted for the new ones because they seemed a lot more... I just thought they looked better. At least in the example they have here, like where they're showing Slayer.
Yeah,
That looked
I just
a lot
don't like
better
the...
to me.
Yeah, the Slayer one looks better, but the... I don't like the new farming logo.
See,
Shane,
is,
I was making fun of you a second ago.
Well, I'm not going to make
fun
of you. I'm not going to make
no,
fun of you.
No, I was just saying I was making fun of you a second ago for, oh god, it's different. And then this. So, I don't know. change is good, change is bad.
See, here's the thing.
We'll see.
When this was initially announced, there were some really, really hideous designs. I mean, things that didn't even look like they belonged in-game. They rather looked like they belonged on a website. So, in a way, that's good. I think the best back one, and I don't know how I feel about the tassels on the front.
I totally just noticed that the Slayer icon is a skull with a dagger in it.
Really?
I thought it was like some rock or something.
Where have you been, Earth?
I can't tell that's a skull in the in-game.
You haven't noticed that in all these years?
It just looks like a rock.
Really? It's looked like a skull since, you know, 2005.
I know, I'm looking at the old one. It also looks like a rock.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe the old one looked like a rock, but I think the
I'm
new
looking
one's
at that page you just linked. Yeah, the new ones look like a skull, but the icon in the skill interface in game is too small to figure that out unless you squint at it. And I'm not gonna do that. I don't care that much.
Well, I mean, okay, you're right. The capes listed in the topic with the old icon do look like a rock, but I could always make a skull
out of the
icon.
I just assumed it was still a rock with the new one, I guess. I don't know. Right. But I do, actually, looking at the...
I mean, I wouldn't
mind... I don't
like
the new skill cape design.
You like it?
I don't.
Okay.
They got rid of the neck thing.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not...
It's all gold.
Toggle scape, yeah. It's not number 5 from back in October when they were doing that, which was, you know, something that was just looked like it was, you know, done in Adobe Illustrator or whatnot, not an actual.
I mean,
thing
looking
in-game.
At the in-game voting options. It looks like someone just took it and cut out the old one and just pasted that right there. It doesn't look nearly as good as it does on the forums. I will say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they said that...
look at the one on the forums if you want a better representation of it, because the little display in-game is not accurate.
Yeah,
it does not
and...
look good.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing all the other ones if... Like, I don't know why they couldn't have given us all the skill capes as an option here. Mainly, effort. But that, like, if I could see the farming cape right now, that might make me jump a bit more. Just, I mean, because black is black, and black is always going to be black, right? You can't exactly see textures and whatnot on black. So maybe if we had a lighter one, it might appear as though there was more detail on it. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just splitting hairs right now.
I think you are, Shane.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't think
case,
it would hurt.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't think it would hurt to like bring them into the modern era. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they'll screw it up too bad. I mean, if they do, hey, something in Rune Lab. Say, hey, bring it back.
I don't think they'll screw it up too bad. I like it.
All right. Well, there's the poll. It's pretty much a blowout. If you're just hearing this now, there's no real option that you have for this. So, anyways.
There's no.
Yeah, there's no real option to affect change in this, so it's not change we can believe in.
Ha! I don't get it.
All right, on to the some lab ideas this week by our special community members who have sent these in to me. First up is a master spellbook by Dave. He wants a book. Basically, at level 99 magic, that would have every spell in game. It would be a quest or achievement type reward. Basically removing the need to swap spell books so that, you know, you can have an ancient combat setting and a lunar farming setting. So if you like that, it's in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. You can find a link to his suggestion. And, of course, Trekkie, as he's always wanted, wants the Milord and Milady title, so you can go lend him some support to that. Though maybe he might have better luck with a ninja fix.
Oh, Trekkie.
Yeah, and I mean, you can still support ideas for this month. Sorry. And Lumbridge Crater, fill it with water. That is still winning for February. I wonder how Jagex is going to do that, since it looks like, you know, that is where we're headed so far.
It's radioactive. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Second place is instant lodestone teleports by adding a rune sink. How does that one make you feel?
Lodestones aren't instant enough. Like,
no, they're
really?
Not. I like them. I don't use them. Well, they're too slow. They're free. They shouldn't be free. I don't like it.
All right.
Oh, good. Undo the responsive combat update. I see that one. I do not support that one.
No.
Let's see.
Rebalancing lodestones is also on the front page.
Actually, if you could do this, I would use lodestones where they are effective, but still not use the one to Edgeville to go to the GE because that's stupid.
And I should also note that the trimmed quest point cape has 475 supporters. Currently unlikely to see the light of day this month again. But in third place, interestingly enough, change constitution back to hit points.
Why?
I don't know, but anyways, there's enough Rune Labs for today. So
Rip, Shane, are you dying?
Yes. No.
Yes.
No. No, I'm not. But anyways, check out those Rune Labs ideas, update.rsbnb.com for that, and more goodness from the podcast. All right, so Game Blast 15 and Double XP Weekend. So, of course, this is why Tanis wanted to be on the show this week, Game Blast. But before I let him tell his story about this. You can head on into Solomon's General Store and pick up the Game Blast outfit. For sale this weekend only, 108 rune coins for members, and all proceeds of those outfits sold will go straight to the Special Effect charity. So if you can't support by donating items in-game or donating real money, head on over to Rune Labs, or I'm sorry, Solomon's General Store, and buy this outfit. I picked it up earlier today.
Good job.
Yes. Awesome. So, Tanis, we had you on last year for Game Blast as well. So, just tell the listeners a bit about why this is a special cause for you.
Okay. So, yeah, this is actually really close to my heart because I have a disability myself, so I am actually legally blind, and so I use assistive technology to play games. So when I heard about Special Effect, you know, I was really glad that there was an organization that existed that could help people like myself and people like in way worse situations than my own be able to play games because, you know, I know what it's like to kind of grow up and not, even though I grew up playing, you know, my sight was like I have a progressive disease called Stargardt's, and so like mine got progressively worse. So I had to keep finding new ways to be able to play. And a lot of what special effects, what they do, is help people in the same kind of situations, because a lot of them are in regressive type, you know, have regressive diseases as well. So I know when I was at that age where it was really kicking in, it was hard to socialize. It was hard to just be in the group and be a part of things, because you weren't able to do the same kind of things. And gaming is just a great avenue. You know, it's, you can communicate and build those social bonds and stuff through gaming. And so the work that they do is really, really important. When I saw that Jagex was doing that, I just couldn't be happier. And they've done a variety of things today. There has been some really interesting stuff on the live stream. They were doing a 24-hour live stream. And there was a first. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there was a first in RuneScape history early this morning on the live stream. You could actually trade with a JMod for the first time ever.
Really?
Yes.
So what did they do?
Well, you could go to, it was a JMod account. I think it was Mod Game Blast. And I want to say, I know Mod Balance was there. He wasn't Mod Game Blast, but he was there with, maybe it was Mod Simon. I'm not sure which mod it was. But I was watching it on stream, and you basically would go and you could trade with him and donate. You know, donate your GP, and at the end of the session, he, you know, put it all in the well. And he was, I think by the end of the session, he had gathered something like close to 300 mil, something
wow.
like that. And I don't know how many bonds, but, you know, he was taking bonds as well. I know as of, I think, the last time I checked, at like 8 o'clock Eastern time, they were up to about 26,000.
And there's
cash.
About 12 hours yeah. left, give or take. So that's pretty good progress.
Yes, they're doing very well, and there's just a litany of ways that you can donate. You can give bonds. You can do the Well of Goodwill. You can go to the Just Giving Jagex Just Giving site, or yeah. If you're listening from the UK, you can. There's actually a text number you can text. JGEX.
JGEX 99, and then that goes to 70070, and then you include the amount that you want to give. I personally thought that way of giving was very accessible, because you know, pay by SMS is something that they like to do in the UK, so it's good.
Yeah, I thought it was really great that hey, they have so many options. And my article this month is about that and some of the different things that you can do yourselves, and some of the stuff you can be creative, you know, and get involved. Some of the ideas, you know, like if double XP is not like that big of a deal to you, say you're comped or you're maxed or you're not really trying for a 120 or, well, even if you are, you can go bossing. You know, that's,
yep.
that's good XP. And you can, you know, drop all your loot in the well, because it really helps out a really great charity. And, you know, you could organize an event. Maybe you can bring back one of these dead mini games and have just a little a little buy-in, you know, where everybody, you know, puts
right.
a little bit in the pot and you throw it in the
yeah.
well. There's just a number of things that you can do. And you need,
that's a really good
you
idea.
Know,
should they?
Yeah, I mean,
and,
just be creative, you know?
And one thing I want to say pertaining to this, and, you know, they really got the ball rolling with this last year, is that charitable things in-game, you know, have almost always been, you know, limited towards, okay, we're going to have a live stream and we're going to ask you to go to a website and donate. But Jagex does it differently, and you can actually use your in-game wealth, which I think is really groundbreaking for this. And I don't know if any other games have done that, but it's definitely something that I think the wider gaming community needs to embrace. So with that being said, I
feel like I remember one company doing, it's probably Bungie, like for every so many kills, they would donate money or something.
Okay.
I'll look for it, but I bet it would be Bungie if anyone has done it before.
And, you know, the whole community is also involved with this, which is really great. You also wrote an Informer article last year, I think, and that one was actually about special effect itself, correct?
Other way around, yeah. Last year, I went into detail about myself and some of the technologies I use, but this year is more centered on special effect, some of their case studies, and some of the people that they've helped. Because it's really, really interesting when you see, like, you know, they, like, show up at someone's house, and they have their toolkit, you know, and they're, like, making modifications on the spot. Like, I remember reading one story, one of the case studies. There was a kid with, it was a spinal disease, never could play a game, and they Bluetoothed the joystick on his wheelchair to his computer.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you know, and they use the eye tracking technology for using a mouse and a controller. They have these special light touch like controllers and stuff. They have one-handed controllers. I mean, it's organizations like this you don't think about, like, kind of pushing that technology, but they actually
exactly.
do, because they are developing it on the spot to meet a certain need.
Yeah,
so it's,
and oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just, I mean, I think it's really unique the way that they do it, because, you know, they have their technicians, but they also come out with occupational therapists and can, you know, try to manipulate a limb or something, a limb with no feeling whatsoever, and, you know, try to get some feeling back in that just the slightest little bit, so that then the technicians can come in and do their thing, you know, and find a setup that will work.
Mm-hmm. It's really great. And, you know, this whole idea of technology, gaming, working together to enable those with disabilities to play is actually a field that is ever progressing in computer science, mainly tied with the human-computer interaction field. And this is where most of the research in that area does happen, is to, you know, perfect these interfaces, perfect the eye tracking, perfect the motion tracking, that sort of thing. And it has come a long way in even the last decade. So great strides are being made. And, you know, if you're doing double XP this weekend and you, you know, don't need all the money from your profits, dump some of it in the well. That's the best way to contribute, I think, with this. So overall, great effort by JX. And I think we ought to underscore also is that, you know, the live stream ends midday Saturday in the UK, but you can donate to the well all through double XP weekend. So whether you're working on Sunday or, you know, you don't get your money in until then, you can just put it in at the end of the weekend. So you can still put it in.
Yeah, and something else to think about, if you are skilling, you know, if you are on your grind this weekend, and I hope you are, you're going to have some stuff left over. You're going to, you know, everybody and their brother's doing summoning. You're not going to use all those pouches. You're going to dump them on the GE, and you're not going to get squat for them. Throw them in the well. They're worth more to helping some kids with disabilities than they are to you right now on the GE,
because
you're not going to get much out of them.
Let me tell you, I'm not going to need
right now.
Okay.
So that's a good idea. Because
I'm not going to need 1,800 pack yaks.
Yeah, who wants rune minotaurs, right?
Exactly.
So, I'll be doing that.
Well, thanks, Earth. And can I just add one more thing, Shane?
Please.
Okay, I just want to tell everybody out there that if you don't have in-game wealth, that's okay. And if you can't donate monetarily, you know, I understand everyone's in a different situation. There is still something that you can do in-game, and that is just if you meet somebody, and you may not know they have a disability, but if they do tell you that, just have a little patience, a little bit of understanding. It goes a long way. It means a lot. I know, like, personally, I'm a little bit slower. It takes me longer to find stuff because I'm only looking at a very narrow part of my screen. I actually have a YouTube video where you can actually see how I do this. So just, you know, just be patient with people, and because there's a lot of really, really cool people out there. They're just a little bit slower, so you know, don't like jump them in the dungeon. Oh, noob, what are you doing, man? You know, just a little patience, and that goes a long way too.
Indeed, and I was actually going to mention that. Thank you, for bringing up your YouTube video. But everybody should go definitely have a watch and. See just how you do things, and it's eye-opening for someone, you know, who plays RuneScape normally to see it played in such a different way, and it works for you, which is great.
And will this link be in the notes, Shane?
It will.
Excellent. So you update guys have no excuse.
RSGMB.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tannis. All right, so, Hearth, are you happy with this behind-the-scenes video that we got coming?
Hearth?
Earth.
You just called me Hearth, Shane.
No, I didn't.
Well, I don't know how to feel about this quest. It doesn't really seem like Zamorak to me. We've discussed this before.
Yeah, we've had that discussion before.
But I
think next week we'll be able to hash that all out and see how it goes. I mean, apparently Sliske has the Stone of Jazz.
Yes.
I thought it was
still
hidden.
Wasn't that
known? No, I thought it was still hidden.
Yeah, but did you guys notice in the video that he was part of the Dream Team? Like they said, Sliske, I'm going... Was he stealing it from himself? Like it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. I will say that. So, yeah, hard to know about this. But, I mean, it's advancing the quest line. And, you know, we can't have everything as serious as Missing Presumed Death or, you know, Fate of the Gods sort of thing. So maybe this is going to be the comic relief quest.
Yeah, but there's a time and place for like comic relief, and that's the gnomes, you know, or pirates or penguins or something like that. I mean, you can't turn Zamorak into a Joker.
And that's the thing so many people, you know, have reservations about. We'll have to see whether or not those are founded once we all play through the quest. But as you can tell, we are chomping at the bit for this and analysis and whatnot. Next week, hopefully it's not another Birthright of the Dwarves.
Oh.
Please don't, Shane.
Please. I'm sorry.
Bad memories.
Don't do it, Shane.
All right.
My heart, it can't take it.
All right. Well, I'll hand this over to you now, since there's something else you would like to discuss.
There is?
Yes. Wasn't there
what?
pertaining to your...
Oh, you're not talking about the quest anymore.
No,
okay, I was confused. All right, so as I mentioned last week, the community ambassador team, we are making our foray into old school RS, and we wanted to do that this weekend, but unfortunately,
the servers were taken down by a denial of service attack. But Old School RS has been made free to play. So we will be doing a larger focus with that in the future, since now anyone can play.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will attract a lot of new people.
And as this
old people returning, right?
So either or, really. And yeah. You know, as this episode is being released, community ambassador team is making an attempt at their first ever Old School RS event on Saturday afternoon. So that has since gone, but I think you can pretty much say there that you guys will be making more attempts in the future at this, correct?
Yes, and when I say the event, that was on Thursday when it got when we had to cancel it because all of the servers were taken down. So we are trying again this Saturday.
And if not, well, maybe you guys will check the forums and see, okay, we're having it next weekend. But yeah, definitely check out what these guys are doing. I don't
like to have a lot of support, especially for these, well, I mean for every event, but especially for these first few events, because these guys have worked really hard on this, Schwa and Magic King. I've done a lot of work on this. I've not touched Old School RS very much. I've logged in, made a character, and I did, like, Cook's Assistant, but that's pretty much the extent of what I've done. But those guys have worked on it a lot more, and they're funding this event entirely. So, show up.
We ought to be,
come support them.
Extremely grateful to them for doing that out of their own pockets. So, yeah, definitely. Anything else you'd like to say in regards to that realm, or...
Come to our events.
Alrighty. And as you can tell, we're not in the mode of chastising Old School RS anymore. The group, in a way, has
that
made a decision.
That part has been beat out of Shane.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. Thank you, Earth, for that. Moving on, Paul is, of course, back with the Returning to RuneScape series.
Hello, this is SilverWiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. This is a returning member series for both new and returning players alike, where we take a look at some of the changes that have happened in the past half decade or so. Last week we looked at the combat system, and this week we're going to take a look at the load zone network. Previously, this was limited to just Birthwarp and Lumbridge. It is now expanded to a total of 24 locations. I don't have quite all of them unlocked yet, but eventually... we have Prif Threnas, Lunar Island, Birthwarp, Yanil, Edgeville, Alkaharad, Port Sarum, Varrock, Falador, Kenifs, Lumbridge, Bandit Camp, Tavalry, Ardonier, Sears Village, Catherby, Eagle's Peak, Tirwan, Ooglog, Karamja, Wilderness Volcano, Fremenik, Providence, and Ashdale. Some of these will be automatically unlocked as soon as you log in. Some of them you'll have to go to travel. You'll have to travel there through other methods to actually activate that particular lodestone. And some you do need quests for, but anyway, it's extremely useful. Some people don't particularly like it because it allows for a fast transportation method between different locations without any quest requirements, at least for a majority of these teleportation methods. However, teleportation locations. However, it is extremely useful. If you want to quickly bank and you're off in the middle of nowhere without any real great teleportation method to get back, you can do it. You don't need to bring runes with you anymore. You don't need to have an amulet of glory or something else that you can rub to teleport off to who knows where. It does work out to level 20 wilderness, as with most other teleportation methods. It's fast. It's worthwhile. There are some unique unlocks you can get that will change the way that you actually teleport. For me, it's just the standard circle doohickey. It's not that pretty, but it does the job. Everything does it the exact same way. So take a look at it. It's very useful. Again, I know that Reed on the podcast does not like it, but too bad. This is what I did. So now you can complain about my long talking and my topic of choice. Anyway, thank you again. I am SilverWiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. See you next week.
Well, thank you, Paul, for that.
Bit of a shorter one. Finally over.
It was a shorter one this week. It was
only so long.
It was only 2 minutes, half the length of the other one. 2 versus 4.
He just talks for so long. I just can't handle it. It's not like you add that in later, post-editing.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, we got a bunch of questions this week. First one is an audio question from the RR Man.
Hello, RSBMB. It is the RR Man here. I'm currently working up towards Double XP Weekend, going a little bit nuts. I've decided to make a plan. I'm trying to get 99 Herbalore by making some super prayer potions. Currently, I'm at 800 bone meal. Oh my god, this takes a long time. But I'm determined, and I'm going to make 1,000 super prayer potions. Probably doesn't sound that amazing, but if you knew what went into it, and the fact that these suckers are untradeable, you'd probably be impressed. Okay, so I better whip into a question. These bloody new level 85 ports weapons. Have you guys got them or heard of anyone who actually has them yet? These things seem to be bloody impossible. I've been doing ports every single day trying to get them, because supposedly you can get them from a standard voyage. You've just got to scroll through that final region. But man, it has never shown up. I don't know if it's just mega rare or I've just had the horrible luck. I've also heard that possibly you have to do the trio voyage of all the three new ones. But they didn't never said anything about that, so I don't know if that's true or not. Any information you guys have would be handy. This is RR Man, co-host of RSBMB 2017. Peace out.
Sounds like someone's eyeing a spot in the future, eh?
Does indeed, but I'm planning on sticking around, so we'll see.
Yes, I'm going to hold on to you very tight, as you told me to do.
Oh, God, help.
Okay, sorry about that. I just felt that was necessary with that. Seen any of these ports, rare items come around, either of you?
I haven't seen any of those items.
I have not. I have wondered, like, is it a reward for the clue voyages?
No.
I haven't seen one of those come up either.
No. The clue voyages are something else differently entirely. The way it works is you do need to, I think, complete the storyline mission of the three new characters. And then, you know, once you do the trio mission for those, you will be rewarded the, or you will have the opportunity to get these additional rare items. So I think you are right in that regard, because I have not seen this come around, and I am and have been since this ports update. Basically, I go through each and every of my missions every day, and I can tell you that that has not come up in any way. The only thing I've seen is new story missions. So I am assuming that is indeed what is happening here. And I mean, I don't know if it's possible for you to have the scrolls yet either, because I only have half of the scroll for the magic weapon. So it'd be interesting to know if our man here does have the scrolls. You guys completing the scrolls already, or have you not started on
them? I've completed some of the scrolls, but not all of them.
Okay.
I have 3 pieces of the melee, the katana, and the whatever it's called.
I haven't even started the... Are you talking about the weapon scrolls?
Yes.
Oh, no, I haven't gotten any of those.
Yeah, well, you should definitely do
that. Still
trying
to get the armor ones.
Oh, okay.
See,
yeah.
I guess...
Yeah.
I'm a wee bit behind there.
So I guess it's okay if you do have to finish the story missions, because there wasn't a new resource in that way. Like, if you had been able to get the scroll and that piece right off the bat, you could have made the weapon day one.
Yeah. And
because we all had that stuff, you know.
And also given the fact that, you know, there wasn't a new region added to ports as well means that, well, there has to be some kind of time gate on this, right? And I haven't seen any of these floating around in-game either on people. So I think that is indeed the case. But yeah, it's either going to be ports or the new wilderness weapons, or of course Drygors if you already have those. And I did the DPS analysis back in January when that came out. So hopefully that answers your question. And let us know if you do manage to come up with that. And I sent off 2 story missions before we began here today. So hopefully I will be able to, you know, make some progress on this in a quick manner.
Sorry, there's someone at the door.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi, I have a question.
Shane, someone has a question.
Okay.
Is this acceptable? He ran all the way here.
Who is it?
Who is... Well, I'll go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah?
Hi, I ran all the way here just to ask you, will you play me in NHL on Xbox One?
I don't know who this is, but perhaps.
This is Josh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
Okay. All right, thank you.
So, Shane, have you accepted his challenge?
Yeah, I said yes.
You said yes? Did he go to Jared?
I have no idea what that just was, but okay.
You've never seen those commercials.
No.
He went to Jared. It's like for wedding rings, Shane.
I don't... No, no.
Tennis, no?
Oh, yeah. I went to Jared, you know.
Oh, you went to Jared. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That store doesn't even ring a bell, so I'm guessing we don't have that here.
Ha, ring.
Yes, ring. I totally did not mean that, but yes, that's the one joke per day for me. All right. Thank you, Josh. Moving on, question from Paul. Hi, Shane, Reed, and Tannis. Has there been any formal announcement regarding GE and price hiding / resetting? It seems nearly every time I check a price on the GE, I can find at least one item that had a price history reset. Here are a few examples. Third Age of Dai was introduced at $1.2 billion, and that was the price for a few months. A few days after I sold mine, the price history was reset, which went back to the introduction in November, and the current price was put in. Summoning Focus, Shadow Dai, or 2 of the other ones. I always appreciate the ability to view an item's historical price, but Jagex seemingly resetting the history on various items, this is becoming more difficult. Good luck on the double XP weekend, Paul, PFK99s, and the guy that Reed and others says talks too long.
See, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I've never noticed price history resets like this before. Have you guys?
I have never looked at much price history. I'm like, I'm the worst at the GE. I end up buying high and selling low because I'm in a hurry and I want to get stuff done.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's backwards, but you know.
Yeah. Well,
easy come, easy go.
Shane, you're the economics person at RSBNB, so
yeah,
I trust that you know the answer to this question.
I have not seen anything like this before, but thank you for bringing it to my attention, Paul. And no, there has been no announcement regarding Jagex doing this at all from any of the channels that they give. And, you know, this is just another reason why we recommend that you use the RSBNB price checker to check items in the Grand Exchange portfolio.
Shameless plug.
Just wait. We have price history for most items ever since they've been in game. So we have items going back to 2006 for some of them, when the GE first came out. So you can get the full picture on what an item has been doing with regards to that. But, you know, it strikes me as odd that Jagex would do this. The only reason I can think that they would reset price history is because, you know, they want these items to either sell for more, or they're not selling at all on the GE, so there's some arbitrary mechanic that controls their pricing.
And the GE was released in 2007, for the record, not 2006.
Okay, that was but a year off.
Yes.
Close enough. That is really odd. Alrighty. Thank you, Paul, for that. But yes, Grand Exchange portfolios. Any other comments on that one?
Nope. Dennis? Strange.
No.
Alrighty. Somebody take the next one from
I think Trekkie. This one's meant for me. Hey, y'all. Two-parter. What you gonna do for double XP weekend? And two, if you're on RS and about to go in combat versus a horde of trolls, what is your battle cry? Peace out, homies. Love, Trekkie.
Tennis. You didn't write that.
You didn't build that either, Shane. So.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was good.
So, Tennis.
What am I doing for double XP? Well, this is a weird double XP, actually. I have most of my buyables done. There's only a couple things to do. So, I think I'm finishing off crafting. I am probably about 4 or 5 hours away from finishing off mining. And if that all goes according to plan, finish off attack, because I'm only a few levels from that. And any time left over, going to go do some skill choppas.
Nice.
Because I really don't like Jadinkos. So I know it's better, but not for me.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I do not like Herbler Habitat either.
Oh, and my battle cry. Trolls!
Oh, okay.
Shane.
Yes, number one and number two. Okay. First things first, tons of farming is in the works. I've already done 2 magic tree runs and 1 palm tree run. I've checked in on the spirit trees, the elder tree, the crystal tree. Couple more hours, I'm going to have another full farming run to be done, so that's going to be good. In addition to that, plan on getting 99 summoning either on Saturday or Sunday, so look for an impromptu announcement in Friends Chat and on RuneWire. And after that, it's going to be divination. But, you know, thank you to Tannis for reminding me of the skill chompas. I might just have to go do some hunter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. How about you for double XP weekend? Today is a good day to die.
So you're running into combat against a bunch of trolls, and you're just going to do this. Today is a good day to die. No emotion. Completely emotionless.
Well, obviously with more vigor and whatnot, and maybe, you know, the kind of
more
way...
More vigor. How could you have less vigor, Shane?
Well, I mean,
today
I would also...
the day to die. Come on.
I would also do a rally call similar to the one that Worf did when he approached those vicious animal things in Season 1 of Next Generation. I'm sure Trekkie will appreciate that answer.
Right.
Yeah, the episode with Q. You remember that one?
No.
Q-Who? Q who? Sorry.
Shane, stop QQing.
Alright. Oh no, that's bad. That's not the episode. I'm sorry. Q who is the one where he throws him into the path of the Borg.
It doesn't matter. I am doing summoning right now. I've gotten about 600k XP in the past 20 minutes. So that's impressive. And I don't know what my battle cry would be, but I know that Shane's would be something like, "Hey." Or maybe he would sneeze at them. I don't know. Do I want to watch, Shane?
Do you want to explain that, or should you just say to come to the PC gaming events on Tuesdays if we're playing Half-Life or Gary's
Mods? Shane hiccups, and he'll go like, "Hey!" And it's just gotten to the point where I will imitate that and just go, "Hey!" Or something to that effect. So, yeah. And his sneezing sounds like someone is screaming. And yeah.
All right. And as I said, PC gaming server, if you want to hear Reed's soundboard of Shane's.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds.
Our Half-Life 2 Deathmatch server and Gary's Mod server have a plethora of Shane sound effects. They're definitely something to marvel at, let me tell you.
Yep.
See, you can hear Shane's disapproval. That means they're really good.
Alrighty, and the last question from Lord Rickles. Reed, please.
Oh, man. All right, fine. I'll read this, too. This is from Lord Rickles. Okay, guys. Since RuneScape isn't that kind of fantasy game, I will re-ask my question last week, but in a more broad way. If you could date any NPC or character from any game, who would it be and why? Surely some lady somewhere in gaming has been attractive to you in some way. And Shane, yeah, man. Linza is a hottie, and good with her hands. She's a master smith, so you can find her working metal at her anvil. Not that I stand there and watch her or anything. That would be weird. Only a creep would do that. Heh. And that is from Lord Rickles.
And he did include a photo in his question, but I can't put that in the notes because I don't host images.
You don't host images?
Yeah, for the final show notes that go out, so I can't.
Oh, they're just it's just text.
Yeah,
you could put a link to it. Come on,
yeah,
Shane.
Yeah, I could. Right.
Come
All right.
on.
Here's the link.
So, Shane, since you made me read that question,
I can't honestly say.
It'd All right, something... what about dishonestly?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what dishonestly would mean. I need to,
But
you
know, said you
think
honestly can't say which one you've been attracted to, so what about dishonestly?
Well, it's say not that. Something that I think of, because it's a pixel game. I don't know. That
it's a pixel game?
Yeah, it's just never, you know, seemed like
Come
something.
Come on, Shane. Have you ever looked at Lara Croft? Come on.
I've never
Take
played
a
that
look
game.
At those bazongas, Shane.
Oh, not
They're
this
massive.
Again. Not this again.
So, nothing, Shane?
No. Pixels don't do that.
All right, Shane. If you say so.
I do. Now, I believe
Tennis.
You two have to answer. Okay, Tennis.
Oh, jeez. you know, I never found pixels hot either, but... I mean,
come on, guys.
If I have to, like, I don't know. If I have to say something, yeah, sure, Lara Croft, because, yeah, she does have tiggle bitties, and they're pretty nice. So, yeah, that's all I can say.
I
appreciate the self-censor there.
Yeah, I try.
Thank you.
It's a family show.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. We appreciate that. And yep, you?
Family show where we talk about, what were they? Tiggle Bitties?
Tiggle Bitties.
Your turn.
Okay. All right, so that would have to be a toss-up between Bastila from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic or Shondi from Saints Row the Third and Four.
Oh, that one was annoying.
That one?
Yeah, in Saints Row? That character.
That character?
Yeah.
Really, Shane?
Yeah, I killed her once.
Because she's a woman, isn't she?
No.
Isn't?
No.
It's because she's a woman.
No, absolutely not. That one and the guy with the fake voice box.
You're calling her that one. That one.
It's a character. It's not a real person, for crying out loud.
So?
So?
You can't just call it that one. That one.
It's a character in a video game.
That one, though?
Yes.
That's like saying that icky one over there, right?
Well, no, you're completely leaving an adjective out, but, you know.
No, you're leaving an adjective out.
No, you
because
are.
Because we can all hear it in your voice. That one. That
hey,
one over
you know,
there.
You know, never mind. I won't go there. It's not a place
no,
we want to
no, go.
No, go
there.
But it could
go
be
there.
Used in a. It could be used in a more negative way.
Really?
It could be, yeah, like pointing
could make
and,
that
you know.
Sound more negative?
No. No, okay, thank you. Thank you for the question, Lord Rickles. I believe we have effectively answered that now, and we are moving on. Thank you for your input in this matter. Alrighty, well, that's it for questions, everybody. Thank you for your submissions. If you want to send questions in, just head on over to update.rsmb.com/ask, and you can ask your questions. The topic goes up on Mondays, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say about Dishonor Among Thieves, the newest quest.
Woo! And I will be live streaming that, theoretically, so watch out for that.
Yeah, and, Twitter at RSBNB staff.
Yes, it will be tweeted when I get around to doing it. So,
indeed.
That will probably be.
We're on a Monday release
after
cycle.
Okay, it'll be after Tuesday. So, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. But probably Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something I've advocated on Update for a long time. Anybody coming on a quest week, do the quest a couple days before. Don't do it earlier in the week. That way then it'll be fresher in your mind.
Well, I do it as soon as I can so I can live stream it and get people's thoughts about it. Because until I do the quest, I isolate myself. Like, I leave my clan chat because I don't want any spoilers whatsoever.
Wow.
I mean, especially for the bigger quests, like Missing Presumed Death. Like, I turned chat off, and...
You wore a blindfold before, and you plugged your ears, right?
No.
When you were on the internet? No? Okay. All right.
No, that works.
Okay. Well, with that being said, moving on into tech news, some rather big tech news stories this week. HTTP2... has been finalized. Quick little summary for everybody. HTTP is a protocol that makes the web work. So when you go to a website and you see the HTTP in your browser bar, that means you are accessing the contents of some page somewhere over the HTTP protocol. HTTP was last modified in 1999. Yes, 1999, when HTTP 1.1 was released. And so this week, the protocol for HTTP2 was finalized. And, you know, you're not going to really notice much of a difference with HTTP2 and HTTP 1.1. Everything will work as it did. It will just work a little bit better in such a way. Just wait.
Okay.
I have a good way of explaining this.
I was just going to say, tell us why we should care.
Yes. It's going to work, except it's going to work a little bit better because it's going to be tailored for the modern web, which means websites are more dynamic than they were in 1999. So dynamic websites will be faster because fewer requests are made. That sort of thing. So overall, it's just going to be cleaning up, housekeeping, the way the web works, and everybody's going to notice things being a little bit faster. It's not going to be night and day, but you will notice it. Personally, two of my favorite things coming to HTTP 2 are the fact that we can leave connections open for longer, so meaning our servers don't have to work as hard to send you all the images and whatnot on our website. And the second thing is HTTP 2 now supports push, meaning the servers can actually send data to the client rather than having it be a one-way street. So that's going to be very nice.
So that's like email, right? Push email? Is that...
No, it's different. It's the push method. Yeah, which basically means that, you know, when you click go after you type in rsbnb.com, that's what we call a get.
Yes.
So let's say you have, you know, rsbnb up or something and we want to update the page for you, but you're not running any code in your client to do that. We can now do that with a push request.
So that it like automatically updates the web page.
Exactly, without the need for, you know, JavaScript doing it over pre-existing technologies. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Nifty.
Yeah, and of course the best place to be if you want to be on the leading edge of HTTP 2 is Google Chrome.
Of course.
Firefox too. But, you know, Chrome is always going to be at the forefront of these kind of things, as they were with the Speedy protocol, which is being deprecated, so don't worry about that. But, yeah, use Google Chrome or Firefox if you want the best of the web, really.
Woo!
Tanis, you ever have any issues with slow websites or anything like that pertaining to, web applications that don't respond?
Yeah, I used to when I had the old computer in IE, but I use Chrome and a new computer. A lot less of that now.
And I bet your experience is a whole lot better than it was previously.
Night and day.
And that, to a little bit less of a degree, is going to be HTTP 2 versus HTTP 1.1. All right, so this next story is about some custom iPhone firmware, and I believe that Reed would like to have the lead on this, wouldn't you?
Yes. So, in this past week, someone that I know personally, actually, released something on Cydia, which is the iPhone jailbreak, what is that, a repository, right?
Yeah.
And it was something that would change the boot color. Like when you turn on your phone, it shows that Apple logo, right? You could change the color.
Yeah.
And he gave very explicit instructions on how to do it, and said if you don't follow these steps exactly, it will break your phone. And, you know, of course, people didn't follow those steps exactly. So a bunch of people's iPhones got bricked. And he's actually talking with Apple support tomorrow, like the Apple engineers, and they're going to push something out to allow people to... it messes something in the NVRAM up, which NVRAM, is really bad.
Non-volatile RAM.
Yeah, which is really bad. So they're looking at a way to fix that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And just in general, to everybody out there listening, let this be a reminder that if you are using an iPhone or even an Android phone that is rooted, be careful, because you can still do things like this.
Follow the instructions exactly.
Yes. It's like playing with a nuclear bomb.
I don't know about that.
Well, okay. But, you know...
Maybe a hand grenade.
Sure.
That would just stop working instead of explode. Like, that explosives is not really an appropriate comparison.
Well, I just gotta say that, you know, anything that changes the boot screen of an iPhone has to go pretty deep, because these things are set at the factory based on the color of your device that you get. So
yeah, but the point of all of this is it's more of a proof of concept, right?
Yes. And
because and you can brick iPhones by doing this if you don't follow the steps exactly, which is why there's such a big concern about it. Nobody cares about, oh, they're changing the color when you turn the phone on. Nobody cares about that, really.
Yeah, and I mean, thinking hypothetically, something like this could also be used as a way to, you know, insert code into the phone that's not necessarily able to assert its existence and go through the normal checks and balances of the device. Because normally the device is a pretty secure system. But if you're going in this deep like that and it's able to do this, some pretty interesting things could probably end up happening with that. So.
Pretty interesting things indeed.
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, there could be security vulnerabilities.
Well, no, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, let's talk about something in the PC universe then. Lenovo... One of the stars, in my view, of, you know, the desktops and laptop...
Really?
Consider them one of the top-tier manufacturers, yeah.
Even before this?
Yeah, before this.
And where have you been?
What?
You have been out of it. Though I just don't like laptops to begin with, so I don't think there is a good brand.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lenovo was always good. But I know Paul swears by Lenovo. He has one of those ones apparently that can be shot at.
I guess if you wipe it once you buy it and reinstall Windows, sure, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and you know, more and more likely, or I mean, more and more commonly, any kind of computer you get, you do need to do that unless you build it yourself, which is really unfortunate. But basically what happened... is Lenovo had this piece of software called Superfish that basically was intercepting secure HTTPS connections on your computer and using a certificate created by Lenovo or Superfish in this case, which could mean that, let's say you're doing your banking, this information could be stolen and sent to third parties, which is not good when you think about it. So,
where did you hear about this from, Shane?
I think this might have been on Security Now, or I might have found this on my own. I don't recall.
Okay, because, do you follow the @SwiftOnSecurity account on Twitter, Shane?
I do not.
You really should. I know you probably don't like Taylor Swift because she's a woman or something like that, but, that's a really funny account, and it actually knows what it's talking about too, which is hilarious. It's Information Security Taylor Swift. It's a huh?
What'd they have to say about this?
They were just talking about it a lot.
All right.
So,
anyways, you can remove this from your computer. It's a non-invasive piece of adware. Basically, all you need to do
non-invasive.
Yeah,
non-invasive. I mean,
it just means that it's not going to try and, you know, reinstall itself.
Okay.
All you need to do is uninstall it from the add remove programs and control panel and delete the Superfish certificate in the certificate manager of Windows.
Is there a guide linked in that
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So if you go to our show notes and look at the tech news, that will take you to a article with a link to a guide on removing it.
Yeah.
Which I highly recommend you all do.
These were sold between October and November of 2014. So if you bought a Lenovo laptop in that time period, this is you.
Oh, it's just for that short of a time period, not...
Yes.
Oh, okay. And that's good.
Yeah. Alrighty. Anything else before we move on to other things?
Not really.
Okay, well, the February Skill of the Month is well underway. Currently, Blatherskite is still in first place with 18.1 million experience gained in our Crafting Skill of the Month. Tim is in second place with 12 million, and JamAndy52 not far behind with 11 million XP gain. So we actually do have a race going. At the time. 1 week left in the month, so it'll be interesting to see what these guys can come up with. I wonder how Tim feels this month after being non-opposed last month.
Challenged.
That would be a good way of describing it, yes. I mean, it's obvious, but it's true, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tanis, what do you think of Crafting Skill of the Month? Do you ever consider entering one of these?
Yeah, I haven't because my time is too volatile. So, I never know like how much time I'm going to have, and I've watched the like Skill of the Month and the results and I go, "Whoa." There's no way I'm getting that kind of an XP rate. That is insane. So props to everybody that enters and competes because you guys are legendary.
I would also like to point out the December 2010 Skill of the Month farming.
Oh, not this again.
I won.
You did not win that. This was the Farming Skill of the Month, where I blew both you and Brian away.
But I was the underdog, and I came back and won. I beat Brian.
Yes, but I beat you. I beat you by 3.2 million XP.
You timed it, Shane. You don't count. You don't count.
Oh, that's great.
Is it?
Well, bonus XP didn't exist back then, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but Shaning existed. So...
The only day I did not get XP that month was Christmas Day. Or no, that wasn't Christmas Day. It was 2 days after. Ah, that was a great skill of the month.
Yeah, because I won. Look at that. 4 million, Shane. And I don't have unlimited resources like you did, so...
All right.
Take my victory from me.
We might have to have another rematch in that then at some point, so we'll see what happens.
Okay. I don't trust you.
Moving on to achievements of the week. We got four of them this week. First up, Dave. Dave0338 got 99 strength. On the 15th, and 99 Slayer on the 16th. Congratulations.
And Eon got 99 Construction on February 15th, 2015. And Eon got 99 Crafting on February 15th, 2015. Shane, is it really necessary to put the 2015 in there?
Yes.
Why?
Because these show notes have to withstand the test of time, and... 10 years from now, I want to be able to go through the files in my system and see what day this was.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, as we mentioned earlier in the show, lots of discussion of the wilderness this month, so you can read all the Informer articles. Dead Wilderness by Mr. Bistro, Using the Players as Bait by Lord Rickles, and of course... Tanis is how Jagex participates in Game Blast 15, all at Informer.rsbnb.com.
Hey, that's you.
That's you.
It is.
You did that.
Yeah, good job, all of you, and Tannis included. I'll be having something come out next week that's balancing what you guys had to discuss last month pertaining to Rune Labs. Got to keep the balance a bit, so I'm going to be covering that. We are indeed fair and balanced at RSBNB.
I'm glad you found a silver lining somewhere. I know it was no easy task. Hats off to you, Shane.
Well, just wait. You'll see. Anyways, pick of the week. I have a pick of the week that I can use, and I am only too excited to share with you guys. Some of you guys who are familiar with World War II history might know that there was a device called the Enigma. And the Enigma was a piece of hardware that was invented by Nazi Germany, and it was used to encode their messages that they would send over the radio and to the U-boats and to the tank divisions and whatnot in Europe as the war was progressing, when it was getting increasingly brutal and it was looking like the good guys, us, would not actually win. So basically what happened over the course of the war is a number of Enigma devices were captured, you know, whether they be on a submarine or, you know, found in a retreating German convoy or something like that. But based on what was known with these devices, a group of scientists, of course, with the ever so famous Alan Turing, were able to crack the Enigma machine and know exactly what the Germans were saying to all of their troops on the Western Front and elsewhere. So with this, they were actually able to, you know, okay, so an attack is going to be coming here. When can we go and counter this? How can we, you know, work against the German codes and whatnot? So for anybody who wants a high-level, detailed explanation of how Enigma works, this was covered on a podcast known as Security Now that I listen to pretty much weekly. And they go through a very, very detailed analysis of exactly how Enigma works, how it was broken, and ultimately how inferior Enigma was to the encryption that we have today. It's really an eye-opener looking back on this history, seeing how we encoded messages back then and what the, you know, main Achilles heel in Enigma was that let it be broken. So if you're at all interested in cryptography or war history or computer science or anything like that, you should definitely have a listen to episode 490 of Security Now. And that's the pick of the week.
Okay.
So, what have you been up to? Let's start with Tannis. What you been doing on RS this week?
Oh, geez. RS. I haven't... This is the first week I haven't had hardly any time for RS. It's been sad, so I have been doing Rocktails here and there. That's, yeah, pretty much, yeah, I've been doing Rocktails a lot this week.
Alrighty. How about you, Earth?
Well, I've been doing summoning, and speaking of which, I would like to, again, reiterate, I just finished all of my summoning stuff, and instead of trying to sell it on the GE, I just took it to the Well of Goodwill, and it was 3,599,999 coins, exactly, interestingly enough. And so just to round that out, I just put in another 1.4 plus 1 million GP, so there's a dollar for charity, everyone.
Wow,
and that
thanks.
Was for what, like half an hour of kind of AFKing?
Yep, and just imagine what you could do if you devoted your entire weekend.
So if all of you do that, then imagine how much we can raise. Just 5 million, just plop it in there.
Who'd have thought we could raise money for charity by playing video games? It really is,
yeah,
the 21st century.
Is technically,
yeah,
a podcast for charity now, isn't it?
Indeed, indeed. I'm glad we're doing that.
So, woo!
Alrighty. Well, as for me this week, I have, you know, been getting ready for Double XP weekend. A little bit of a tip to anybody out there who is doing summoning at a high level, upwards of 96. If you're looking to make pack yaks, you can actually go to the trader on Yatiso and buy the yak hide for 50 GP each compared to, you know, the 400 odd GP it costs on the Grand Exchange. So it's a much cheaper way of creating yaks, and I think you would maybe even turn a profit. I don't know. Let's see what a yak is. But of course, we're not concerned about that today. So that's just more money going straight to charity. So that is one thing you can do. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just the way I think. But anyways, before I go off to sharpen my teeth, I will say that I also have done great amounts of farming this week. And yeah, it's been a good week on RS.
You're sharpening your teeth, Shane.
Yeah, Ferengi do that, you know?
Oh. Okay, I missed the joke. Uh-oh.
What?
World 66 is lagging.
Uh-oh. Anyways. Well, with that being said, we'll leave you guys to your double XP earning if you guys are listening to this on Saturday or Sunday. If not, we hope you had a good weekend, and we look forward to seeing you guys back here next week for our discussion of Dishonor Amongst Thieves. So thank you once again, Tanis, for joining us. You can find him on his YouTube channel. Link is in the show notes at update.rsmb.com. And Earth and I bid you farewell. See you next week.
And remember, I will be live streaming the quest at some point next week. So keep an eye on the @RSBNB staff Twitter account.